We turn this morning then to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. And then our text. Verse 29, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the psalm that we consider this morning is a beautiful psalm, because throughout the psalm there is one main thought running through the mind of the writer. The glory and praiseworthiness of God. The psalm makes a full circle from beginning to end, showing the many facets of that glittering diamond, which is God's goodness. It's a psalm of true thanksgiving. It's fitting, therefore, that we consider it this morning. But we do so by meditating upon its conclusion, a conclusion which was also its introduction. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If we gain a clear understanding of the truth of God's goodness and his ever-enduring mercy, if we have a spiritual and personal understanding of that magnificent truth, then we shall surely be able to join in thanks to God today. But we have to also see that true thanksgiving is only possible from this perspective. We must see that God is good, no matter what our circumstances are, or what possessions or lack thereof. God is good. He is good in himself, but wonder of wonders, he is good to us. That is, he's good to us who are in Christ Jesus. He is good to us having become our salvation. He is good to us having shown us the light. He is good to us who are the objects of his mercy. Yes, indeed, in him we have reason for true thanksgiving. So I call your attention this morning to this text under the theme True Thanksgiving. And I ask you to notice with me, first of all, its motivation. Secondly, its expression, and finally, its possibility. When we speak about the motivation of true thanksgiving, we must immediately understand that we speak about an only motivation for true thanksgiving. If you read the newspapers today or listen to the news, you will hear all kinds of different stories expressing reasons for thanksgiving today. But true thanksgiving boils down to one thing and one thing only. Jehovah is good. That's our text. That calls us to take a significantly different perspective on this Thanksgiving Day than what is generally taken by the world and quite naturally by ourselves. You see, it might seem on the one hand that it's rather easy to celebrate Thanksgiving this year. Because if we have not been completely overcome by covetousness, we have to confess we lack nothing materially. It's our nature always to seek more. But what do we lack of our daily necessities? The purpose of the National Thanksgiving Day originally was to give thanks at the end of the harvest. And certainly, with very few exceptions across the country, it's been a good harvest again this year. In fact, it's really been quite some time since our farmers, I'm not speaking just in our congregation, but across the country, have had a really difficult period of years. Though we easily forget the good years. But as God has promised to those who seek first the kingdom of God, he's given us rich provision. And that goes well beyond the farms, of course. The economics of our country have certainly changed since the days when Thanksgiving was focused primarily on the harvest. Even with the crops that God uses to provide us our food and drink, those things are rather far removed from the thinking of most of us. Even though the farm economy, without question, has an effect, even a major effect, on the economy of our country, nevertheless, we've become much more reliant on industry and the broader economic and business conditions. And from that point of view as well, we live in a time of great prosperity. People lust for more, always. And many people have an erroneous expectation that the government owes them more. Furthermore, it's also true that the gap between rich and poor, or shall we say rich and the average Joe, the gap has become a wider and wider gap. But even so, our whole society, quite in general, is a very prosperous society. There are no starving masses. Stock market, even while taking a dip recently, is still near all-time highs. There's more work at present than hardly any time in the past number of years. And this prosperity is evident even in our rather small congregation. And we're thankful. And we see that the financial provision on the whole within the congregation would be astounding to any outsider. God's mercies are abundant. And where there is need, the deacons are ready to provide and to show in a concrete way those mercies of Christ. Materially, God has provided for everyone richly. And if we count our possessions one by one and we take Thanksgiving Day from the common perspective of giving thanks for the harvest and for material things, we certainly have reason for much thanks to God, because after all, He's the one who provides. But if that is the sole reason for giving thanks to God, we've missed the mark. If that's your sole reason for thanking God, you can't even thank Him. If your earthly possessions are not seen in the broader context of being nothing more than means to serve your God, you've corrupted even your earthly prosperity. Remember, those things are merely passing. They don't last. One can be filthy rich in his brief earthly sojourn. He loses everything at the end. Job certainly understood that. Even as he confessed in Job 1, verse 21, "Naked came I into the world, out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." Take nothing with you when you die. Even more, our material prosperity means nothing for tomorrow. Though we prepare for tomorrow, even as Joseph laid up in store, we don't know what tomorrow brings. It's been many decades since our country experienced a Great Depression, so that there are very few of our number left who remember those years of hardship. And they remember them only from the perspective of being a child. But even apart from an economic collapse, which would affect the whole country, when it comes to individual circumstances, One can lose his job, can lose his business, can lose his health and ability to earn an income overnight. That can happen instantaneously. Still more, prosperity means nothing in the face of death, does it? In our congregation, there are those who have loved ones this very day whom, if we speak figuratively, have one foot in the grave, very near death. And when you visit those saints whose earthly life is near its end, you will find that more and more their minds are taken off earthly things, even earthly relationships, as God prepares them for home. It's exactly the fact that we have a heavenly city to look forward to that we shall give thanks unto Jehovah, recognizing his goodness, not otherwise. That's why this psalm is a very personal confession. And today you and I must make it our own. We must be able to say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." He sees life everlasting, you see. The motivation for true thanksgiving is found only in this: Jehovah is good. When we can say that as those who hear his word and know him as the good God, then our hearts will be filled with gladness and thanksgiving in this day, not otherwise. The Lord is good. He's good in himself. He's good because he is God, everlastingly, solely, unchangeably good. He's ethically good. There's no unrighteousness in him. And in the divine family, the covenant life of the triune God, the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live together a life of unbounded goodness, dwelling in the light of perfection which is never dimmed. God is light in whom is no darkness at all. Pure goodness. There's no lie, no defilement, no corruption, no death. God is good. And apart from him, there is no good. He is the ultimate and absolute criterion of all that is called good. And when that good God stands before our consciousness and we worship him, we can't help but give thanks to him for the very fact that he reveals himself to us as the good God is an act of his goodness bestowed upon us. And the point of the text that we consider this morning is exactly this: Jehovah has given us to taste of his goodness. He's taken us into his good life so that we confess that Jehovah is good, not merely as a matter of doctrine. We confess it as a matter of enjoyable experience. The psalmist expresses it this way in Psalm 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Oh, taste and see. True thanksgiving is unfolded and expressed when we taste spiritually God's goodness to us. And that's something for us now. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. The psalmist, you see, he's not speaking about what the Christian shall say when he gets to heaven. This is our confession now. We know that in glory we shall always be praising God for his goodness, in whatever activity shall be ours there. But you and I are called by the text to see and to say something now in our present circumstances. We're called to thank Jehovah for his goodness. Even while we dwell in the midst of this present world full of toils and troubles and sorrows and sickness and death. I say again, we don't speak here of some abstract doctrine. This must be a matter of our own experience, our spiritual knowledge. Jehovah is good. I know that. I've tasted his goodness. I have a place in the fellowship of that only God who is good. That's the only motivation for true thanksgiving today. In the second place, the expression of that thanksgiving is seen in the text. Give thanks, says the psalmist. Now bear in mind, as I've explained often before, the Hebrew language is very much a picture language. And to give thanks is to throw out the hand, to point to the object of your joy. In some circles, that thanks is expressed with simple words. But the Hebrews were more similar in character to those who would throw out their arms and hug the person who's given them a gift. In some families, when a gift is given, the recipient of that gift, particularly overwhelmed with gratitude and the magnitude of that gift, throws out his or her arms and says, "Thank you." Also hugging the giver of that gift. Well, that to some degree is the picture here. To thank God is to view him as the giver of a gift that has overwhelmed your soul. In addition, the expression to give thanks also implies that you point out those things for which you are thankful. We do well to do that often, beloved, because living in gratitude to God will affect the whole of our outlook and our lives. Today is one day when we ought to count our blessings one by one. But we do well to do that often. We tend far too easily to get all caught up in our troubles and trials, and that's quite natural too. That's our natural inclination. Our natural inclination is to be very self-centered and to worry and to focus on our troubles and our sorrows. But I say again, we would do well to promote joy in our hearts by frequently counting the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And then we throw out our arms and we say, "Thanks, Lord." And that expression is the acknowledgement of the fact that Jehovah alone is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Such an expression of thanksgiving implies a proper spiritual perspective and is also an expression of several basic truths. In the first place, when we give thanks, It's necessary that we are conscious of being in possession of good things. By the giving of thanks, we are expressing our gratitude to what God has given us as good. Not only so, but we've been given by God nothing but good things. If we feel we have no good things, we can't be thankful. If we feel that what has been given us is evil, we can't be thankful either. If we feel that we've been given a few good things, but mostly evil things, then our thankfulness is going to be permeated with bitterness. If we're going to express true thanksgiving, we must be aware of the fact that all God gives us is good, without exception, even when we don't understand his ways. We know his end because he's told us. And everything serves that end of our salvation. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What we see with our earthly eyes is deceiving if not enlightened by God's revelation. True thanksgiving is a confession of faith, humble faith, because true thanksgiving also recognizes that by our sins, we have deserved nothing but evil, and yet God works everything for our good. Humble faith, because all good comes to us from God. We have nothing in ourselves. That means, thirdly, that in expressing thanksgiving, we are acknowledging the truth that every good thing is ours as a gift. Not a single good thing have we merited. When you look at your own possessions out of pride, as things you have earned, how can you give proper thanks to God? These are my things. I've earned them. This is my family. My home. Well, if they are yours, merited and earned, to whom do you give thanks? No, everything is a gift from God. Your children are his. Our children are loaned to us for a time that we might teach them and raise them in the fear of God. They're God's. Everything we own is his, given us as a gift. If we don't recognize that, we can't give thanks. He owns all things, all the silver and gold, the cattle on 1,000 hills, Psalm 50. We read it in Scripture. We are stewards in his house, given certain things to care for and to use to his glory. The very place that we occupy in his creation and in his church is a matter of gift from him according to his will and good pleasure and perfect wisdom. Jehovah is good. Do you say that? How is it possible to render such thanksgiving to God? Don't we live in the midst of death? How is it possible? I have visited dying saints the week of Thanksgiving. I've asked, how do you give thanks this week? And they're able, because their focus is on the God of all glory who has given them heaven. The Lord is good. Will you say that today? That's the only possibility of true thanksgiving. You won't succeed in giving thanks to God today unless you can immediately point to the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. Looking at Jesus, we say, Jehovah is good. Look at his goodness. We live in this world in the midst of death, death that we brought upon ourselves because of our own sin. We live however long a period of time God gives us, some only a short time, others 70, 80, even 90 years plus. And we sin every day. And yet the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Jesus conquered death. The forgiveness of our sins, fellowship in Jesus Christ, is the only possibility of true thanksgiving. God's goodness is revealed to us, his people, in our misery, in our sin, in our sorrow, in our death. That goodness is his mercy, revealed to us who live in the shadow of death. His loving kindness that draws us unto him in repentance and faith. It's his desire that we be unspeakably blessed forever. And to accomplish that purpose, he will lift us out of our misery, out of our sorrow, out of our death, into the blessedness of his glorious everlasting kingdom, into the perfect fellowship of his life of love. Jehovah, who is faithful to his covenant promise, makes us heirs of that inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that never fades away. His mercy endureth forever. But again, the viewpoint of the text is the viewpoint of my experience. That's why you must make this text your own confession. That mercy of Jehovah is everlasting, never changes. It's not so that God is merciful today, but not tomorrow. It's not so that God is merciful when he bestows certain things, good things upon us, but he's not merciful when he sends us affliction and trials and other evil. That's not so. God is unchangeable. Also in his loving kindness toward his people in Christ. Our consciousness of that mercy will change because we are so changeable. And our consciousness of that mercy is often lost in our weaknesses and sin. That's why we must continuously hear that word, his mercy endureth forever. And so we see it in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that, beloved? Do you connect all your earthly possessions and your present situation with that one precious gift of God's own Son? and the forgiveness of your sins? Only when we make that connection, only when our present gifts, joyful or difficult, are connected with that one gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, can we be thankful today. I said in my introduction, this psalm is a beautiful psalm. It was the psalm that Martin Luther called my own beloved psalm. He called it his own. It remained his favorite throughout his life. Knowing the trials that he went through and the beauty of this psalm, I can easily see why it meant so much to him. But he was careful to point out that the entire Psalter and all of Holy Scripture were dear to him as his only comfort in life and death. But he fell in love with this psalm especially. He said, this psalm is my own. But be assured, he said, no one's being robbed. After all, Christ is mine, and yet he belongs to all believers. Would God the whole world would claim this psalm for its own as I do. So said Luther. And that must be the point this morning. Take this psalm as your own. Take the text that we have considered this morning and make it your own confession. Will you do that, beloved? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Gracious Father, we give thanks to thee for thy word and for thy mercy which endureth forever. We thank thee that thou hast revealed thyself to us as the God who is only good, always good, all the time. In Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we belong, and in whose name we pray, with thanksgiving. Amen.